Monday, May the 4th. And this is a workshop for a COVID update from City Manager Von Bargen. And it is 5:30. Could I please have a roll call, please?
Absolutely. Assembly members, Powell.
Here.
Larrabee.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison. DeLong.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Here. And at this point, does anybody have any conflicts of interest in, given that it is the COVID update and there may be issues related to the harbor? I would like to pass the gavel to Vice Mayor Gilbert, please.
All right. And pertaining to your conflict of interest, would you state what you think your conflict of interest may be?
Absolutely. My wife and I hold a minority shares of our son's fishing business, and he operates out of the Wrangell Harbor, and decisions that are made concerning that related to COVID could affect his operations.
All right. Pending assembly disapproval, I find you have no conflict of interest.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Gilbert. Does anybody else have any conflicts of interest that they would like to declare at this time? Yes, sorry, Julie. Go ahead. I missed your blue hand there.
Thanks. I would like to declare two potential conflicts of interest. Our family owns the fishing vessel McCray that is moored in the Wrangell Harbor. We have a commercial fishing business, and our two children also fish on separate commercial fishing vessels that are moored outside of Wrangell. And then secondly, I work for a statewide organization on behalf of the seafood industry called the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. And it's a nonprofit that generally looks at R&D issues related to the seafood industry.
Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. Pending any disapproval from the assembly, I don't see a conflict there. Does anybody else have any other conflicts that we'd like to declare? Hearing none, I'd like to explain conflicts of interest and why it's important that we declare them every time. If we make a decision at an assembly body and somebody comes forward post that decision and they are able to show that a conflict was made and an assembly person, a member, votes on an item, then that decision becomes null and void because there is a conflict and they can go through and say that the actual decision was contaminated by somebody who potentially had a conflict. So if it isn't declared and we move forward, at the end of the day, that decision can be rendered moot. And I have, I'm somebody who believes in this very strongly and have declared my conflicts all the way along in a variety of situations when we were negotiating with Surge for our hospital takeover. I think people got tired of hearing me say that my wife worked for Surge, but it is every time that you have to do it. So I just want to make sure that folks understand that. Moving on. Oh, sorry, Assemblymember DeLong.
Hi, yes, Assembly and Mr. Mayor. I will speak for my family having a share in the commercial fishing industry and using our shipyard regularly when doing maintenance to our boat.
Okay, thank you. I don't see an economic advantage there for the decisions being made. Anyone else, any further conflicts to declare? Okay, thank you. Maya, your hand is still up there. Do you have something else? No, okay, it's gone. All right, and with that, I'd like to turn it over to City Manager Von Bargen to give us our Monday COVID update.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, members of the Assembly and staff and other members of the public listening. So I just want to give you a brief update before our meeting tonight. I sent out an email over the weekend with an update on the CARES funding. And it appears that in the governor's newest iteration that Wrangell has gone from receiving what was $3.84 million to $3.81 million, which is you know, in the grand scheme of things, not huge, but still a significant change. And we are awaiting to hear from the legislature as to whether or not the money that the governor has allocated toward municipal share is actually going to stay that amount. The legislative budget and audit committee is the one that is meeting, going over and making the decisions regarding the breakout of the full amount of funding for CARES that the state is getting. And our understanding is that they will be dealing with the municipal share of things when they meet again on Wednesday. I do want to clarify that the it is not the intention, as I understand it from what I'm reading, for the legislature to gavel back into session and vote. They will decide, they will make their decision via committee, and then they will vote after the fact when they gavel back in back in January. So that's my understanding there. So although we are planning on spending some of that money, I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable about expenditures come Wednesday when I know that the amount that the legislative committee is recommending is very similar to what the governor has outlined for municipal distribution. So I just wanted to give you an update there. The other thing I wanted to let you know is magically our finance director received an email from the state of Alaska on Thursday of last week saying, congratulations on your $35,000 COVID mitigation grant. Congratulations to us. So the grant email said, please submit a plan for how you're gonna use this money and we'll get it to you. And I emailed back and said, what is this money for exactly? And the response was, oh, it's coming from the CPV funds, the commercial passenger vessel funds. And so that money has to be used toward COVID mitigation related to your port. So we are trying to put some things, the EOC is trying to put a budget together for that. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow. So I just wanted to let you know, we're getting $35,000 in change for port-related COVID mitigation. We do have three items, COVID-related items, on the special agenda tonight. Approval to forward the letter to the governor and the Department of Health and Social Services from SEARCH, the proposed Section 8 to the Wrangell Marine Service Yard user agreement, and the alternate isolation site. One thing that will be coming forward to the assembly for consideration in the near future is the rental of the alternate long or funding for the rental of the alternate long-term care site. And I may have the mayor weigh in here on this. So the hospital, Wrangell Medical Center, has a surge plan, and Dr. Prezanka may also want to speak to this. The Wrangell Medical Center has a surge plan that it can take up to, I believe, 16 patients if necessary. But that surge plan only works if the long-term care residents are able to be moved off-site to a different location. And really the only reasonable location in town that is available is the old Harding Lodge, Sourdough Lodge. And so that is being looked at as a rental, something that SEARCH has looked at as a rental for that. But we need to make sure that that is secured, because if something were to come along in the interim, and then there were to be a surge after the fact, as we get more people coming in into town, then the surge plan wouldn't work and we would be having to keep all of the long-term care patients in the facility along with COVID positive folks. So that's something that we're gonna be bringing to the assembly, some financial support for that in the very near future. One of the other things that I completely forgot to tell the assembly, and actually our capital facilities director, Amber Al-Haddad, brought this to my attention in the CARES funding for airports that has been doled out across the country, the Wrangell Airport's getting $20,000. So the state will have $20,000 to do upgrades or some sort of work to the Wrangell Airport. What that will be, I don't have any idea, but just to let you know, there's a little bit of money for improvements there. The governor called today, let me back up. I got two calls from the governor's office today. Whew, let me portray that accurately. The first one was from a staff member who called to see if Wrangell was indeed open for business under Mandate 16, which I responded in the affirmative to. but I added on, I said, however, a number of our businesses that are allowed to be open under Mandate 16 have chosen to stay closed for a period of time or have chosen to still do curbside or, you know, takeout only. And I said, would you like to hear why? And she said, well, yeah, if it's quick. So I explained to her the restaurant conundrum that some restaurants have decided to stay just doing takeout only because at 25% capacity, the math doesn't work for them to bring a full staff on board to do dine-in service. And then I explained that some of the other like personal care businesses in the community were waiting for more widespread testing and to make sure that the curve is actually going down as there's more people and more movement around the state. And then I also expressed my concern to her about our confusion issues and with attachments L through M to Mandate 16. And I just said, I don't know if there's anything you can run up the chain because you're calling from the governor's office. And she indicated, yes, everybody's having a difficult time. And that was sort of the end of the conversation. And not too long after that, I got a call from a former representative, Bill Thomas, who is the Southeast liaison in the governor's office. And he said, I happened to be walking by as a staff member was talking to you and heard that there was some confusion. And can you talk to me about that? So I explained to him a little bit about what was going on. And he said, please email that to me. And he would see if he could get some answers in the governor's office. So I will be sending him an email to clarify what those confusions are. And really, it relates to attachments L through M, which I went over, I think, on Thursday of last week with the assembly. So I won't beat that dead horse for sure. And then we do have some folks on the line here. And I wanted to ask both Assemblymember DeLong, there was a reopen Wrangell responsibly task force meeting today. And my understanding is Assemblymember DeLong has an update there. And I was wondering if Mr. Mayor, Assemblymember DeLong would like to give that update.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
Okay, yes, thank you. Yeah, this is our third meeting. So we were able to shake some things out and have some solid data via a survey that was put out. So I'll give a recap of what the survey found out. It really focused on non-essential services and organizations and businesses. This was before Mandate 17 came out, so it wasn't really geared towards the fishing industry, but basically non-essential. And it captured the response of were either retailers or lodging or overnight camping. Interestingly enough, we did not have any restaurants queue into our survey. Of the businesses that closed, over 40% do not plan to reopen before May 8th. Over 50% of the businesses have a safety plan completed or in draft. Generally, businesses are stocked with essentials, gloves, face coverings, and disinfectant. The sources are needed for hand sanitizer, and that's kind of an ongoing. And we spoke a little bit more about if we were to purchase bulk and what funds would be used and kind of go up the chain to see if we can, as the task force, to receive large supplies of the sanitizer and distribute to these businesses that are in need of that PPE supply. We will be releasing a newsletter that's going to be a little bit of like a mandate for dummies. It'll spell out some of the harder to rectify and the harder lines. So we're trying to make it an easy reading and really use terms that will be easier for the public and for businesses to decipher. And the newsletter, all of it's come together, so it will be out in the next couple days. So look forward to that, and it'll have hyperlinks to refer back to more informational guides. So it really is just like a easy guide to the state's mandates and what it means to each individual business. Furthermore, we talked about some of the EDC funds that what they could be used for maybe sales tax relief or the community at large and what that entails. We're also going to set up, hopefully this week, is a Zoom meeting for all businesses so that they can live chat about what concerns or questions that they have reopening their own business. It'll be kind of a round table for businesses to get in on. And that, and so all the staff worked great on that. And we have a draft of the newsletter that actually just came down the line too. So as soon as that comes to me, I'll get it to Kim with approval and each assembly member can get it. And then it'll go out to the general public to answer some of these questions to businesses. So that's what I have. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Maya. Does anybody have questions for Assembly Member DeLong? Great. Thank you so much for your work on that task force. Your leadership is fantastic there, and we really appreciate everything that they're getting done. And it's great work, and also to Carol Rushmore, our staff person on that committee. So thank you very much, Assemblymember DeLong. Back to you, Lisa.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Dr. Prezonka is on the line, and I know she is on the line to answer questions related to the letter that we'll be discussing in the meeting, but I don't know if she has any other updates or Letha, if she has any updates regarding Wrangell Medical Center.
So let's start with Lynn. Lynn, do you have anything that you want to update from Wrangell Medical Center?
I don't have any specific updates, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
I want to try and make sure that we keep to non-agenda item on this part of our workshop, because people will be tuning into the agenda items and I want folks to have an opportunity to participate in the agenda items. So does anybody have any non-agenda item related question for Lynn? I'm not seeing any hands. Letha, does anybody have any questions for Letha on Wrangell Medical Center response, anything like that? And Letha, do you have an update or anything you want to let the assembly know about?
I'm happy to give a quick update if you'd like.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, I just created a few bullet points. We are continuing to stay in ready mode. We haven't changed anything from when we implemented all of our changes in response to the COVID. We started testing all of our employees today. So Dr. Prezonka and I were the first ones, bright and early at 8 o'clock, getting swabbed. And by the way, it hurts. So it's not very fun at all, but we did do some pictures, and we will have all of our staff tested by Monday of next week. Search continues to have a strong supply within Southeast, within the consortium, of all of our supplies. We received 3 additional beds that are part of our surge plan from Samaritan's Purse. Those arrived in Wrangell last week. So those are going to go into our operating room, which will turn into a negative pressure area for us. We continue to do our weekly calls with the city and the EMS. We continue to do our weekly press releases. Hopefully that helps in keeping everybody abreast of what's going on at Wrangell Medical Center as well as with the city. And the construction, the new hospital, just a quick little update on that. We've doubled up our staff over the last couple of weeks just to play catch up on any time that we lost on the new facility. So we're still on schedule there. Those are all the updates I have, just quick and easy.
There you go. Assembly Member Decker, you have a question for Letha?
I do, and I don't know if Letha or Dr. Prezonka are the best, but either one could answer. I heard that the state has procured more testing equipment, including the kits, even the Abbott Rapid test kits. So I was curious if you guys have had any communication with them or any knowledge of that. And I think coordination is a problem right now. So I'm just curious where that sits with you all. Dr. Prezonka, would you like to take that question?
Sure. I can't verify that the state has received Abbott tests. The state has not been a great supporter of the rapid tests at all. So I think it would be unusual if they'd gotten a lot. If they have, I don't think it's being passed down to us, but our supply comes through the Indian Health Service, and our supply is good at the moment. The rapid test, however, doesn't necessarily meet the needs of industry. The problem with the rapid test is it's a picture in time, or any test for that matter, it's a picture in time of do you have the COVID virus right now. It helps, but it would have to be done serially if we were really doing it effectively. And because there's a more limited supply of the rapid test compared to the other tests, it doesn't make sense to use the rapid test exclusively for asymptomatic people. The irony is that with asymptomatic people, you actually need to stay on quarantine or at least socially distancing for longer than if you had symptoms and you had the test and you were found to be negative. But in general, I would say there's an increasing number of tests, rapid and otherwise, and an increasing access to them in terms of how quick we can turn them around. And I know that the search organization, we are actively looking at ways that we can share that with industry. They're just trying to work out the finances of it. I'm not sure that we have enough supplies that we could offer a test to everybody who wanted it at any time that they wanted. We can certainly offer a test at the moment to anybody who is symptomatic that we need to rule out. The next step is to work with industry and try to come up with some sort of a plan as we open up to test people in strategic areas at a reasonable cost, at a reasonable interval. And we're hoping to get some answers for that within the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Lynn. Anybody else, any questions for Letha or Lynn?
Could I follow up, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. So my understanding is they're state's trying to get more supplies and then also increase the requirement for seafood processors to have a testing regime, kind of like you talked about, over time during that 14-day quarantine period. And, they're doing this in response to, concerns and meat processing plants, things happening down south and learning more about stuff. And so I think my understanding is they're going to kind of be more conservative in this area and require that seafood processing workers that are coming into the state get some testing over that 14-day period, whether it's two or three, I'm not sure, but where they're going to land. But, and it sounds like it's just a kind of a cluster as far as industry, state, and then the testing facilities coordinating. So I just want to put that on your radar screen that I think it's going to be coming up. And so hopefully we can have local conversations about that.
Yeah, Julie, that's an excellent point. And just to let you know, I did speak to Rocky because I'd heard that there was the potential for some testing. And I did put Rocky in touch with Lynn to work through some of that stuff and understand that it is a potential now, where 3 weeks ago it wasn't, now it is, so we need to take advantage of that. So go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, Julie and everybody else, I think that it is two different systems that we're talking about. Search is already looking at ways that we can use our testing supplies to help out with local industry in a manner that is most effective and that we maintain enough of the supplies to test people who need to be tested because they're symptomatic. So that's one thing. What you're talking about is not something that I was aware of, that the state itself is supplying more tests. There will be things that need to be worked out, such as who's responsible for doing those tests? How do we coordinate them? How many tests are there? Where are they going? But I think, by and large, I think that's incredibly good news. More testing is always important. There is a false sense of security that comes with it. And I think so long as everybody's got a good awareness that if you're asymptomatic and you've landed on the ground, just because you have a negative test doesn't mean that you couldn't develop symptoms within 7 to 14 days. And so just a word of caution that everybody needs to, as much as possible as we open up the economy, be as diligent as possible when they can with the social distancing, masking, and cleaning surfaces, washing hands, et cetera. Thanks. But I think it's all very good news. I think that that's a movement in the right direction that I wasn't aware of, so I'm thrilled.
Thanks, Lynn. Anybody else, any questions for Letha or Lynn? I'm not seeing anybody. City Manager Von Bargen?
Mr. Mayor, I don't have anything else other than I see that Superintendent Lancaster is on, and I don't know if she, we only have 4 minutes, so I don't know if she can give a 2 minute update if she's got anything to add or not.
Superintendent Lancaster, please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. We are in the process of coming up with a plan for students in case one or both of their guardians or parents becomes ill. I'm having the administrators work with the teams and the counselor and formulating that kind of a plan as was discussed on Friday night from the governor. Other than that, we're putting several plans in place depending on what our situation is. And there's not really much more else to say to update on everything. We're just making alternative plans for all sorts of situations.
Mr. Mayor, you're on mute.
There we go. Thought I'd hit it. Thanks very much, Superintendent Lancaster. Appreciate that update. We have a few minutes left. Anybody else, anything quickly for the good of the order? All right. Well, Kim, just a process question for you really quickly. Do we need to adjourn out of work session and then do another roll into for our regular or for our emergency meeting?
Right. So I noticed it as that the special meeting would occur immediately following the work session. So you can just end the work session and then let's just start up the special meeting and call it to order and call roll and go through that process.
Please. Okay. So I do need to call roll.